Hello, everyone, and hello, of course, especially to John on this wonderful occasion. I wish I could be with you all today, but as many of you may know, I've been flat on my back for the past 2 weeks following now successful back surgery, and so we'll have to settle for this multimedia combination of me speaking to you through this MP4 file, and someone, perhaps Tim or Eric, would be so kind as to advance the PDF file slides that I sent one at a time when I say next slide, please. So in the short time that I have to speak to you, I thought it was best that I just give a little short story focusing on one aspect of the work that we've been doing that relates very closely to that of John. And it, of course, is in the general area of the swimming of microorganisms, a field to which John has made such important contributions over the years. And I'm going to focus in particular on our discovery of hydrodynamic bound states, whose ultimate explanation owes a tremendous amount to the work that John did so many years ago in Cambridge on Stokeslets near walls. Next slide, please. So while we'll, of course, have heard today much about various mathematical models, such as the squirmer, that have been so successful in understanding many aspects of individual and collective dynamics of swimming microorganisms, it's worthwhile remembering that one of the most beautiful microorganisms that we all know and love was discovered many, many years ago by Antony van Leeuwenhoek, the perfecter of the microscope, whose wonderful devices, shown on the right of this slide, were revolutionary in their time. They were single-lens microscopes that allowed unprecedented detail through a technique of lens manufacturer that he kept rather to himself for a long time. But one of the great discoveries that van Leeuwenhoek made, next slide please, was that of a beautiful organism which we now call Volvox. He wrote about it in a letter to the Royal Society in the year 1700, in which he described the things that you can find in the excrements of frogs. I wish we could use such titles now in the journals, but that's not going to happen. And what he reported in his figure 5 was the discovery of an organism about half a millimeter across with hundreds or even thousands of green dots on its surface and smaller spheres on the inside. We now understand that those smaller spheres are the daughter colonies of this beautiful organism that eventually hatch out and become the next generation. And the surface cells, of which there can be actually up to 50,000, are actually biflagellated algal cells, which allow this organism to swim in a beautiful manner through its fluid environment. And it was about 60 years later that Linnaeus, the great namer of everything in biology, in the very last entry of his book on taxonomy, gave this the name Volvox for the persistent rolling motion that it has as a consequence of the collective action of all of those eukaryotic flagella. Now, neither van Leeuwenhoek or Linnaeus, we think, actually could see that there were flagella or cilia on these organisms, and so there's a little Latin notation at the bottom where it says that it seems that this organism rotates without arms. But we now know, next slide please, that both the single-cell organism Chlamydomonas, which is like the building block for Volvox, and Volvox itself are powered by the action of the same kinds of cilia or flagella that are found in the human respiratory tract. So if we look at the organism on the left, Chlamydomonas, we see that it's about 10 microns in size, with two of these flagella each about 12 microns in size. And Chlamydomonas is essentially the building block out of which Volvox is made, in which every dot on the surface of that right-hand image is a Chlamydomonas-like cell whose two flagella are pointing outward from an extracellular matrix that holds the whole thing together. And if we go on the next slide, we'll see a device which we built some years ago in which we wanted to try to study the swimming dynamics of these kinds of organisms in detail, free of any conflicts from thermal convection and allowing us to actually track their behavior in three dimensions with a dual view stereoscopic imaging system. And we've now come to understand through our work and the work of many other people around the world that these organisms are beautiful models for many aspects of biological fluid dynamics having to do with the action of the flagella themselves and also the collective dynamics of groups of these organisms about which you've probably heard some already today, perhaps from Tim or others. So if we go to the next slide, please, we'll see that we can study the swimming dynamics of this organism as a function of its size, where its size varies simply as it grows during its two-day life cycle. Each of the daughter colonies, when hatched, starts out about 150 microns in size, and the organism can grow to the better part of a millimeter by the time its life is over. And now there are various things that move systematically with radius. So for instance, the speed with which it swims up against gravity, shown in the upper left, is a rapidly decreasing function of size. Eventually the organism's too big to stay afloat against gravitation. If we look at the speed with which the organism settles in the lower left as a function of its size, if we deflagellate it or otherwise stop its spinning, we see a nice smooth behavior from which we can learn about the density offset that the organism has with respect to gravity. The organism spins, that's what gave it its name. If we look at the upper right, we can see that this spinning frequency is a very strong function of size, varying by more than an order of magnitude downward as the organism gets larger. And the fourth quantity of interest is actually the so-called bottom heaviness relaxation time. The daughter colonies in Volvox are mounted in the inner posterior of this organism, and so like many of us, it is bottom heavy. And if you tilt its axis with respect to vertical, there's a characteristic relaxation time of about 10 seconds, independent of size, over which it will reorient itself like a ship with a heavy keel. So this allows us to study this organism in many different regimes. The fast swimmers, the hoverers, all sorts of different regimes are possible. And if we go to the next slide, we'll see a still image from a movie that we have made of this organism using a tracking microscope in which we actually follow its motion in its frame of reference with a feedback system. And with microspheres in the fluid, we can track by PIV the fluid flow around the organism and construct the streamlines and examine in great detail the velocity field around this beautiful organism. And it is this velocity field which is of great interest when it comes to the interaction between organisms and the possible collective behavior that can occur. In the next slide, you'll see a view looking down on a glass chamber in our tracking system, in which we have a very large number of Volvox, many of which have swum up to the upper glass surface. And although I can't show you a movie at the moment, you'll take my word for it that there are many interesting orbiting dynamics of pairs of these colonies. And if we zoom in on one such pair in the next slide, you'll see a still from an image in which three of these colonies are actually orbiting around each other in close proximity. And at first we thought that this perhaps was a consequence of some sort of chemotaxis or some mysterious force between the organisms, but the more we thought about it, the more we realized that this was really a hydrodynamic effect, this bound state that keeps these organisms close together. And so on the next slide, I show you various views of this. The upper left is a kind of composite showing you over time how a pair of Volvox in this hydrodynamic bound state near an upper wall orbits nicely around each other. In the upper right, you see a view from the side in which, with the tracer particles, you can see beautifully the pair in cross-section of vortices that come off of this organism as it pulls fluid from the side and shunts it down below. If you look at the lower right, you'll see the view from the top where there's a very clear infalling trajectory of fluid particles toward the colony. And this reminded me of something which I had read recently at the time, which was a beautiful paper by Todd Squires, who made the point, using the very beautiful, famous result of John about Stokes slits near a wall, that if by some means one could have a pair of spheres near an upper wall such that, as we see on the next slide, gravity points down away from the upper wall, but they are somehow held against that upper wall, for instance, by some sort of electrophoresis or other effect, then there would be an attractive interaction between them, which should lead to their coming together over time. And I remembered this beautiful paper of Todd Squires, and I reread it, and I realized perhaps this is what's going on in our system. So to make it precise, one writes down equations of motion for the coordinates x, I of the various swimmers in the system, so they have their own self-propelled velocity, if they're actually moving through the fluid, and as well the fluid velocity u that's due from any others around. And then the axis orientation vector P evolves according to two contributions. The first is that famous bottom heaviness relaxation effect, so that if P is not parallel to gravity, then there'll be a reorientation dynamics with a timescale tau. And secondly, if there's vorticity in the fluid, then that will also rotate p in the usual manner. And what Squires showed was that if you take the known result from Blake about the flow field of a Stokes slit near a no-slip wall, and you turn a large theoretical crank, out will come an equation of motion for the infalling trajectory of two of these spheres that are mutually advected in the flow field each creates. And in rescaled units, where we scale by the distance that the Stokes slits or the spheres are from the wall, h, and we rescale the time by the gravitational force that is acting on the two Volvox colonies and the viscosity of the fluid, we end up with the boxed equation for the time rate of change of the distance between the two colonies as a function of the distance itself. And in these rescaled units, you will observe there are absolutely no adjustable parameters. And with a lot of hard work studying a large number of these infalling trajectories, my brilliant former student Knut Drescher and collaborators put together what you see on the next slide, which is the rescaled distance between two Volvox colonies as a function of the rescaled time. The black noisy data you see represents a large number of infalling trajectories. The green represents the mean of all of those, and the red is the no adjustable parameter fit to the theory of Squires, which is really the theory of Blake, showing absolutely beautiful agreement that all of this is a complete, simple hydrodynamic interaction dictated by the presence of a no-slip wall. And I can't think of a better way of saying how important John's work has been by seeing this stunning match between theory and experiment. And with that, I'll just say, John, I wish you all the best in your future retirement. I hope you keep spinning out these wonderful theoretical results that we can all strive to keep up with, and I hope to see you soon. Thanks.